All right, 1 John chapter 2, and we start reading at verse 15. And I'm going to read three verses, 15, 16, and 17. And I'm going to share some things with you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pray that you would help us as we look into your word, help us to understand it. And Father, we pray that you would help us to pattern our lives after what you have instructed and how you have taught us from your word and how to overcome those things that you have given us the strength to overcome. Help us to be faithful to do what you've asked us to do. We pray, Father, that if there's one here this morning that's not sure that if they died right now that they'd go to heaven, I pray that they make sure of that before it's eternally too late. And we pray that you would help us as Christians to live in such a way that others could see the Lord Jesus in us, and that we would be faithful to you, and that we would bring honor to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good this morning to have John and Barbara with us. Barbara playing the piano a few minutes ago, and she's upstairs playing for the children now. And I know they're glad to be here because this morning they had 18 inches of snow in Branson and 1 degree.
Wow.
And here we are, we're wiping the sweat away in Miami, Florida, and I'd rather be here than there. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I want to share some things with you that I was going to mention this morning in the Bible study hour, but I felt led of the Lord to do something else, and I have to do what the Holy Spirit says to do. Love not the world. 1 John 5, or 2, 5, 15. This is a verse that we use, especially for young people. I've used it many times. I've preached from this verse, oh, I don't know how many times I've used this verse, but I want to use it in a different situation today. In a different light. The Lord Jesus came, and we're celebrating Christmas time. We start and we begin to think about the Christmas festivities. We think about all of the things that have to do with Christmas. And there was a reason that the Lord Jesus came to this earth. He came to die, to pay for our sins, and help us to have the victory over the world. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I have talked to a lot of folks. I have dealt with a lot of people who were addicted to different types of things in their life. I have talked to those who have been addicted to drugs, those that have been addicted to alcohol, those that have been addicted to maybe some type of perversion, sexual or bullying. And whatever the sin is, the victory comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot overcome addiction by just saying, I'm going to stop and not do this again. I had a guy one time that I was talking to, and he was really, he had a real problem with alcohol. And I went into his house. He asked me to come to his house, and I went to his house. And sitting on the table was a bottle of Smirnoff vodka. I looked and I saw on the table a six-pack of beer. And I looked at him and I said, you don't want help. You just want to talk about it. You want help. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, Paul, listen to me. Look what is sitting there. Look what's on your dining room table. And you're telling me that you want the victory over this stuff, and you've got it right there in front of you? You're tempted every time you walk by, every time you sit down, every time you move around. Oh, I need, and you wanting to reach over and get it. That doesn't work. You got to get rid of it. But you also have to put your confidence in the Lord. Because the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. And your faith is what's going to help you to overcome that addiction. 3 or 4 weeks later, I was preaching his funeral. He had taken a gun and had shot himself. And laying beside his body was, I don't know whether it was that particular six-pack. They had all been emptied. I guess he had drunk those so that he could get the courage to be able to do it. I don't know. But that's not the way, that's not victory. God does not want that for you. God wants that in us to be victory. He wants us to be victorious over the world. And he's given us what it takes to be an overcomer. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have to have the faith to be able to do it. We cannot be around those things that we know that we're weak to. We have to separate ourselves from that. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you. And we need to make sure that we are faithful to Him. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants so much for us. And yet we're so weak. There are things that we have to stay away from. If we know that we're weak in a certain area, don't be around it. Stay away from it. Come out from among it and don't touch it. Oh, it's all right, I can handle it. Yeah, right. You can't handle it. And the problem is, we need to make sure that we are staying away from that thing that makes us fail. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because we will fail. And so it says here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what is happening? Are we loving the Lord or are we loving the world? There are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew chapter 5 tells us. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. We need to make sure that we are concerned and hunger and thirst after God's word and what God wants us to do and how God wants us to live. We need to read God's word. We need to have a desire and pray that God will give us a desire for his word, and he will give us a desire to read his word. You talk to people, as I've talked with people, who are addicted to certain things, and they will tell you, I don't like this. Whatever they're addicted to, I don't like it. I want to get away from it. But Satan has a way of pulling them by the collar and bringing them down to go face to face with that temptation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And God, who is faithful, will with that temptation also make a way that ye may be able to bear it. He wants you to overcome the world. He wants you to overcome that temptation. Jesus came and died and was born in Bethlehem. We celebrate Christmas. He came as victory over the world for us. Yes, he came to the Jewish people as their Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah. But he came to save us from our sins. That's why he came. He was born in Bethlehem that he might die on Calvary. He came in Bethlehem to go to Calvary. That was the road that he had to travel. And he knew that. Bethlehem was the beginning of that road in his human form, and the cross was the end of the road. And there he said, it is finished. It has been finished in reality. Redemption, payment for sins, has been finished. I have shed my blood as the Lamb of God. As the children of Israel down through the years offered that sacrifice, that lamb on Passover, and they've taken the blood of that lamb and they've offered it. Jesus, the Lamb of God, offered his own life, shed his blood, that you and that I could accept his shed blood as payment for our sin. And he did that on the cross of Calvary. And then it was just a few verses later in the book of John, it says that a Roman soldier came, and that Roman soldier took a spear and he cast it, plunged it in the side of the Lord Jesus while he was on the cross. And out came water and blood. Well, Jesus had already said it was finished a few verses earlier. And his blood cleansed from sin. But why is that blood coming out now? What does that stand for? The Bible says in 1 John, the Bible says that if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that was for Christians. You see, the blood that he shed in his death and said it is finished, he was talking about the redemption. Our sins are forgiven. The sins that we forget commit the first day of our lives until the sins we commit the last day of our lives. His blood on the cross paid for that. So that our sins will never be more remembered. They're as far as the east is from the west and will never be brought up again. And God is satisfied with the blood of the Lamb of God as payment for sin. But even though that we have applied the blood of Jesus, as the children of Israel applied the blood over the door lintel and down the doorpost of their home in Egypt, and they moved out, went through the Red Sea, went into the wilderness, 29 days, I'm not sure, immediately, they've been spared now. They've been delivered. They've been taken out of Egypt. And now they are complaining and murmuring because they don't have water. You, as a Christian, I, as a Christian, I have applied the blood of Jesus Christ to my heart's door. By faith, I've accepted Him as my Savior. I've accepted His shed blood as payment for my sin, June the 5th, 1962. But I got news for you. Since June of 1962, I've done a lot of murmuring and complaining. My hands have gotten dirty. My feet have gotten dirty. I may have said some things that I shouldn't say. I may have had thoughts that I shouldn't have. I have had. And you have too. And I've said things that I shouldn't say, and I've done things I shouldn't do. Shouldn't have done. And that blood that came out of the side of the Lord Jesus is the blood that's on the mercy seat. And He has mercy on us and forgives us because we're not perfect. And as long as we live in this life, we are going to sin. And we come before the Lord and we call upon Him. And He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, paid for our sins so that we could be born into the family of God and live with Him forever. And that settles it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The blood that came from His side cleanses us from every sin. The dirt that gets on our feet and on our hands as we travel this highway in life. Love not the world. Wherefore come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing and stay away from that. Another gentleman I talked to way back when I was dealing with people on the street and all. The guy told me, he said, every time I want to stop drinking, I said, well, what's stopping you from stopping the drink? I said, where do you go? Well, I go with all of my friends. I said, well, where do your friends go? I said, well, we go to the tavern. That's it. I said, so you go with your friends to the tavern, and you're trying to figure out why you can't stop drinking. I said, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. If I want to play basketball, I go in a gymnasium and play basketball. But if I don't want to be playing basketball, and at that time I was addicted, I think, well, of course, my school bill, my university bill, hinged on the fact that I played basketball, so I had to make sure that I was there. But I couldn't go in a gym without bouncing a ball or taking a shot or two. Not a shot, a shot. just to clear that up, we're talking about two things here that could be misunderstood. But if I need to study, I need to go to the library. I don't need to go to the gym. My girlfriend Jan is working. So, you know, what do? I go study. Because if I go to the gym, I'm going to end up playing basketball in a pickup game or something, and it's going to be time for me to go to work in a few minutes. And so I can't do that. Because I went to work at 11 o'clock at night. Love not the world. Stay away from the things that cause you to fall. And so he said, I go to the tavern, but all of my friends are there. I said, well, what are all your friends doing? All of my friends, yeah, I know. They're drinking, right? Yeah. And you want to know how not to drink, so you go with all your buddies, because that's all of your friends, and you go there in the tavern, and you sit down, and what are you going to do? You going to drink water? No, I don't think so. You're going to do what you don't want to do. And then you're going to say, why am I doing this? We've got to make sure that we live our lives in such a way that we honor God. And by honoring God, it means that we are overcoming the sin that does so easily beset us. In Hebrews, I talked to someone just recently. She came to me and she said, Pastor, I got a problem. I said, what is your problem? She said, you know, I'm in charge of an office complex. I have probably in the office complex, I have probably 30 or 40 offices. And she said, I know the Lord is my Savior. She had just told me maybe a year or so ago that she had trusted Christ as her Savior. And she said, I need to see you. And I said, well, I'll get to church. Just call me when you're there and I'll come out and see you. She said, I have one office. Two or three of the offices had been raided by the Food and Drug Administration. They'd cleaned the offices out and arrested a lot of people. And she said, and that's not the problem. I thought it was the problem. She said, my problem is there's a certain office that I go to And she said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but the guy in there is, he is a real honk." And she said, "I am tempted every time I go in there. I just want to go to that office just to sit down and talk with him. I want to hear his voice. I want to see his eyes. I want to." I said, "Wait a minute. Are you telling me this?" And she said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "Then don't go to that office." "I have to go to the office. I'm the manager of the property." I said, "You have to go every time? Are they behind their rent all the time and you have to go collect rent? Or you have to go make sure the lights are working or the plumbing or, come on. I rented houses and for months I would never see the people that rented. They would pay their bill and I'd never see them. Because as long as they're paying the rent, I don't need to see them and I don't want to see them. Because if I see them, that means there's a problem. They got a plumbing problem, they got an electrical problem, they got some kind of a problem. I don't want to see them." But anyway, she said, I shared with her, I said, "It's no different. It's no different in you or a guy or whoever or teenagers. The devil works in all of us the very same way. Temptation. You say, "Oh, well, I'm going to get married, and once I get married, I won't ever have these problems again." And Paul Wash. You're still human. And Satan still works. "Oh, boy, I can't wait till I get up in the 90s. And I'm about ready to kick the bucket. Then I won't have these problems." I got news for you. I've had people in their 90s say, "Oh, I wish I had known what was going on and what was coming, because I would have changed my life." And the things that I watch on TV, the things that I read, the things that I do, the people I talk with, I would not have done that. I would have changed it. Because now, I think back on those things now, and it's just as real as if I was there right then. Love not the world. We've got to be careful, teenagers. You've got to be careful what you read. You've got to be careful what you see, or it's going to haunt you the rest of your life. And then there's a problem, because then you can't fulfill your dreams. And now you've got your hands tied. And you got the food sitting right there, and you can't eat it because you got false teeth, and you're not putting them in, and you have to gum it to death, and you just can't do it. As a Christian, we need to be careful where we go. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful of the people that we associate with. You want to overcome the world? Then make sure that you walk with Jesus, because He came to overcome the world. And He promises us that if we will overcome the world, then He will give us a position in His kingdom. Oh yes, we're going to go to heaven for eternity and the heaven of the ages to come. But during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He wants us to rule and reign with Him, but only the overcomers can do that. Read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you talk about the seven different times that he says, the overcomers, the overcomers, the overcomers. What about the non-overcomers? Oh, they're in heaven with him, but they're in a different place. And they're not going to be ruling and reigning with him, but they're going to be cast out, outside of the kingdom throne room. And you're going to be like Peter when the Lord Jesus called his attention to him and said, told him that he was going to deny him. And three times he denied him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And then we Christians that are going to be weeping bitterly because they were overcome rather than being overcomers. Love not the world. Stay away from it. Associate yourself with people who are living the way that God would have you to live. Associate with those who love the Lord. Read God's Word. Spend time in His Word. As a Christian, you need to be faithful in doing what He's asked you to do so that He can be pleased with us. We need to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, because God is going to deal with us and judge us according to our works, of what sort they are. What kind of works are we producing? What kind of work do we do for the Lord Jesus? Our works are going to be judged according to what they are. And we need to be faithful doing the things that He wants us to do, and doing it the way He wants us to do it. We're going to be judged according to our faithfulness. When I coached basketball, I wanted a certain play run. And I knew through my scouting and through the reports that I'd been given of the opposing team later, I knew that there was a strength in that team. There was maybe one player that was a standout. He was the star. Now I would work my defense and base my defense upon that one individual. It's not that everybody on the team was just going to sit down and wait and let one person take care of that person, but I wanted my whole defense, all five men. When he got the ball, I wanted to shift and get in a position, knowing he's going to shoot. A guy doesn't score 40 points a game and he's not shooting. That means if he's shooting, if he's scoring 40 points a game, that means he's probably shooting 20, 25, maybe 30 times a game. And that means that he's probably making 15 of those. So that means if he's shooting 40, he's making 15. 25 times when he shoots, he's going to miss the basket, and somebody needs to be there to get a rebound. I want you there. The offside forwards and the guards, I want you around the basket on the opposite side, because when he shoots, it's probably going to go over. And you get the rebound. Box those guys out. Keep his people from being there. And when they shoot, they're going to say, oh, he always makes it, we'll go. And they're not going to be as intent on getting that rebound as we are. And so we do it. We put our confidence and our trust in the Lord, knowing that God is going to give us the victory if we will do it the way He wants us to do it. And so when we played that team, and that ball was thrown to that guy, number 15, if that was his number, when the ball hit number 15's hands, immediately those five guys, two of them were supposed to be close to him, and one was kind of sagging back in case it hit short and bounced back, they could get it, and the other three had to be somewhere around the opposite side of the basket for it going over. And if they weren't doing that, I knew that it was going to be a long night. But I knew that if we got the rebound 25 times or even 20 out of 25 times, that we had a possibility and the potential of being able to score at the other end because we've got the ball. But if we don't have the ball, they've got an opportunity to score. And we're talking about the way that the devil works. The devil wants us to not do what God wants us to do. He wants us to forget about what God wants us to do and just do whatever. And let me shoot and get the rebound and shoot again and get the rebound and shoot again. And eventually I'll make it. And that's exactly what this guy is doing when he's going into the bar. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to drink. 5 minutes later, come on, Paul, you take a drink, come on. One drink's not going to hurt you. Oh, wait a minute. If you're a recovering alcoholic, it's going to hurt you. You can't even smell it without getting taken in by it. And the devil knows that. And he wants you to be there so that he can attack you over and over and over until finally you just give up. And every time you go and see these people, every time you're going to give in. That's why we need to be strong and allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our hearts and our lives. And all of us, we have an area in our lives where we are weak. And you know who knows about it? The devil. He knows exactly where we are weak. And he will keep on pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding away until he gets the victory. We just have to be faithful. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will with the temptation also make a way that you may be able to bear it. Commit your works unto the Lord that your thoughts might be established. Proverbs 16:3 tells us that we can control our thoughts. And by the way, most of our problems and our weaknesses come in the thinking before it ever takes place. We think and then we act. And that's why we've got to get control of the thinking. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to make sure that we think the way that He wants us to think. Here's what Jesus wants. He wants you to think about His kingdom. He wants you to think about spending eternity with Him in heaven. He wants you to think about being successful in this life. He wants you to think about getting the victory over the world, because he has a reward for you in doing that. And we need to put our confidence and our trust in him. Commit our works to the Lord so that our thoughts can be established. Let him have his way. Jesus came to Bethlehem. He came first of all to pay for our sins. He came to shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Secondly, he came to Bethlehem so that he could live his life without sin, being tempted in every way as you and I are tempted, yet without sin, so that we can have a pattern to follow and know how to have victory in this life. That's what he wants. And he wants us to follow him in his footsteps. That's why he came. So when we sing the songs of Christmas and we think about the life that Jesus lived, we need to look to him. Keep your eyes on him so that we can win the victory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father, we pray that you would help us to be what you want us to be, that our lives would count for you, and we'd be what you want us to be, and that we would have the victory to be able to overcome the world because we have the faith in you, that we know you overcame the world, and by you overcoming the world, you set a pattern for us so that we could follow in your footsteps and we could overcome the world also. Pray that there's one here this morning that's not sure that if they died right now, they'd go to heaven. I pray that you would help them to make that decision today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Do you know for sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? If you're not sure of that, then today you can, by faith, and this is a prayer that you could pray. If you'll pray it in your heart and mean it. And this is the prayer. And if you want, you can repeat it after me. And just in your mind, you can say it. And it's accepting the death of Jesus and his shed blood as payment for your sin. And here's the prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus came as your lamb. He came and shed his blood on the cross to pay for my sins. I now, by faith, accept the blood of Jesus as payment for my sin. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would help us today to be what you want us to be. I pray for Christians that you would help us to realize that one day we are going to be faced with the same situation that the children of Israel faced at the Kadesh Barnea. But we are living in such a time like the wilderness, and we are to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we need to take the Word of God and put our faith in the Word of God and read the Word of God so that we can overcome Satan and be victorious, so that one day
You can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. And Lord, that's what we want to hear. Help us to have the strength and the faith to do what needs to be done here in reaching others and sharing and being a blessing to others and being pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.